71.
Oh.
son could make it in that fog. I know I was having trouble seeing, you know, a vision crash. Here, if I have trouble seeing, probably, you know, that probably means it's hard to see. You know, so this, I mean, Lord understands that. Lord knows that's how it is. Sometimes these bodies are just not able to do what it is that we would like to do. So very honestly, Lord understands that. I just pray for those ones. And I know Michelle said they took Preacher Billy out for his birthday today, and he wasn't really feeling good earlier. Didn't you say your mom wasn't feeling well?
She had been to the doctor for a push today.
Oh, okay.
He was infected, or they thought it was infected.
So remember this, Lord, help them. How's your shoulder?
She didn't say much about it.
Okay. So just remember them and continue to remember our family. We still, I can't get rid of the congestion. And, yeah, Jubilee had that fever Sunday, and then Monday she was okay, and we were all excited. We thought they were going to get to go to homeschool group this week, and fever was back low grade yesterday, and then it was up high today, and then down some down low. So we don't know what's going on, but just pray for her. It's good to see Parker back and see him feeling better. I guess are all yours feeling pretty good this evening?
Yeah,
that's something. Amen. Well, one thing about it, I appreciate the grace that the Lord gives us for when we aren't going through stuff like that, because it's like we said the other day, stuff that's common to man.
Yeah.
We're going to deal with it. There is sickness in this life. I forget who we just talked about. But it's, I don't know if any of you have ever heard Preacher Earl Lutzer on the radio. He does pretty good. He was talking about some folks. I think it was him. I want to say it was him. But anyway, he talked to some folks that he knew, or maybe they were in his family or something. Or anyway, there's some of this, God's blessed you, everything's going to go good, folks. And they just believe that anytime they get sick, if they pray, then God is going to necessarily heal them, that he couldn't possibly have any other plan. And so they think they're going to live forever in this life, just until Jesus comes back. Because every time they get sick or they get hurt, they're just going to pray, and God's just going to snap his fingers and take it away. And, I'm like, man, that's going to be disappointing. That's like Richard Irwin said. He said, there's a lot of people that are a lot closer to God than I am, that are living in a lot worse conditions and are in worse shape than I am.
Yeah.
So I don't have any delusions that there's this, if you just get spiritual enough that you'll never have any problems. That's just not, that ain't what the Lord told us, That ain't what he told Paul, is it?
Right.
He said, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to take that away, so I don't know. I guess.
As a matter of fact, I've never had any health problems pretty much at all my whole life. Injuries I've caused myself. But as far as this health, I didn't have any problems, and so I surrendered to Paul pretty good. And that first year, I was 25 years old, and I had Bell's palsy, and half my face paralyzed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just the start of it. You know what I mean? And it was just like anything after that. And, you're going to go through this flesh.
Yeah.
Is going to have to be tamed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of that, those things I went through, I believe that those infirmities weren't the problems that needed to be prayed over. I believe that they were the answers for previous prayers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do, yes.
Because having godliness is much greater than having a healthy body.
Yeah.
Because the body's going to perish.
Yeah.
But what you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what you do in the Spirit of God through the Holy Ghost, those things will last forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Remember our family.
Amen.
Remember Charlie Jerry too, they're sick as well. We need to try to call her on Tuesday night and practice. I was too sick last night to come, so they stayed home.
Amen.
Remember them.
Yeah, they just got this old cold stuff or whatever that everybody's getting.
Yeah, Charles sounded terrible. Stuff, like that stuff that he had,
Yeah.
Remember them.
Amen, remember them. Appreciate everybody praying for us Monday. Everything went well. I mean, it was as far as with the baby, everything went well at the doctor's office Monday. They were originally intended on trying to listen to the baby's heartbeat from the outside and couldn't pick it up. So they did a little portable ultrasound thing where they would be able to, they can see it flicker on the image. And they said everything looked good, and the doctor was under the impression that it's just that, that her placenta is forming in the front, and it just made it where they couldn't hear through or whatever. So as far as that goes, everything's good. She didn't do so hot on her glucose tolerance test, though, so she's got to go back and take a more extended one, so there's a possibility there of gestational diabetes. So, and that, I mean, for her, that could present a problem because it does lead to a higher birth weight, and, you know, she makes them big anyway, so that's maybe not, you know, that's maybe not ideal. So just pray that the Lord would take care of that, whatever way he sees fit, you know, that it'll just be, you know, he'll take care of it. And give grace and help. So, but we do appreciate everybody praying for us, and appreciate the Lord giving us the benefit of being able to see that everything was going well on my day. That was a great blessing. So, just remember that if you would. And I think I mentioned Sunday, the fellow that I've been requesting prayer for, Bradley Schrantz, he wanted to be with the Lord this past Friday night. And so his services are supposed to be Saturday morning, willing, down at a church in Claremont. So, just pray for that family that the Lord would work there. Continue to remember Jan, too, if you would. She's same as everybody. She's sick and can't get over it. Only her doctor's not really practicing medicine. If anybody's sick, he won't actually see him. He just kind of guesses and throws stuff at it. So just pray that God would help her, because she's discouraged about it. She really is. And her daughter, Christy, now, she ended up in the hospital. She got some kind of infection in her hand. They had to do surgery. At first, they were afraid that her arm was going to have to be amputated or some portion of it. But God blessed, and she was able to keep her arm and hand, but she is going to require further surgery. So pray for that, and just pray really that God can get a hold of her spiritually, because that is what she needs the most. Because, you know, up until that point, she was still, you know, out on the streets and, you know, involved in whatever. I mean, we don't know. But just pray that God would use this to get a hold of her. And, you know, if nothing else, I'm thankful that I know right now she's in a place where she's warm, she's dry, she's being fed. You know, all this bad weather, we've been worried about her, you know, being out in that, not knowing, you know, where she was. So just pray, please, that God would use that to get a hold of her. But who else has got a request this evening?
I can remember Kobe yet. He still got that up for rest for you.
Amen. Oh, what about Edna? Is she feeling better?
She's feeling better. She's still 100%. She was feeling better last night.
Okay, good, good.
Remember our CC director, Amanda Brumley? She's really bad sick for you right now. I don't know. She just said it's bad. Mm-hmm. So they requested prayer with her. And also Debbie Lale. She had some teeth had to be pulled, and one, she on the bottom, the top two was okay, and on the bottom, they had a tougher time, and just pray that she heals okay and doesn't get dry sockets. And I think mine has healed up good, didn't get dry sockets. I had a wonderful dentist, and he was everything I prayed for, so I
worked
for that, and I had a lot of anxiety over that. Answering every prayer.
Amen. I wasn't about to say it to you before you got your teeth pulled, but I told Christina, I said, I know what she needs to do. Preacher's almost done said, all she needs to do is call Travis up.
Oh, yeah.
You said he'd get him up, don't
you? Yeah.
I thought it'd be a little funnier now that you know you're not worried about it.
She said they gave her the option of of a cremation and no funeral, and it was still $2,400, almost $2,500. And she said, we're not going that route. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was the cheapest.
Yeah. Amen. Remember this. No, Ms. Terry, what about that fellow that you've been requesting prayer for?
I haven't heard anything in a couple of weeks.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. Cody. Somebody else.
R.D., that is, yeah, John.
Yeah. She said it was her grandson. Struggling to remember. What, he had an accident?
No, he had a lung valve transplant last year sometime, I can't remember when. And then he had gotten COVID and RSV.
Oh.
And they had to send him to Charlotte because he was so bad. They weren't expecting him to leave. They called the family and we came home. He was still up here. Also, I just seen a text from Miss Jenny. She wanted me to request a prayer from the sheep. She said she's really bad sick too.
Okay, remember this.
And Brother Robert.
Yeah. When's, see, when's his book?
It's supposed to be, I don't know, sometime. I can't remember what day he said, but I don't know if it's happened. It might have been this week. I can't remember. I know it's a while off, but it's. It might be as well, it might be tomorrow, actually.
Okay.
It might be tomorrow, I'm not sure, though. But, yeah, just remember, it did pray for him, and everybody, I'm like you, I've still got some congestion, you know.
Yeah.
It's a really hard shape, you know.
Yeah.
And, it's just aggravating, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, just keep praying, pray for our loss. And, you know, our family, friends, neighbors, ignorant enemies.
Yes.
And, remember our nation.
Yes.
Remember Israel. Pray for them. And let's pray for peace for Israel.
Amen.
And I believe that's what God has to say.
Amen.
And also, if any of you don't know, I'll say this. I mean, here tonight, back, you know, for Thanksgiving, Lee's fiance, my buddy Lee, that comes to church here, his fiance left. And anyways, he's, you know, he just really is ready to find a good girl, get married, have a family, you know. That's what he wants. That's a good thing.
Yes, amen.
And, you know, just pray for him. It's tough on him. He gets disturbed.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, he's a good man. And, you know, these women show interest in him, but he wants a good woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, they at our age, they ain't many that ain't already taken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ones that are interested in getting married.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's far and few between. And so just pray for him. I know the Lord's got somebody out there for him. But I'm going to just put on my heart tonight to ask him to pray for him.
Amen. Amen. That's one thing about it. That is a very biblical, godly desire. That's,
yes. Amen.
You know, that's what he called us to do.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's men like Paul, right?
Yeah.
God ordained for him to be single, but that ain't the majority, or there wouldn't be no more people. You know.
Well, you know, and a lot of young men that say, well, you know, they're looking for, you know, whatever is interesting to them right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it, like you said, it's a godly desire.
Yeah.
It's a biblical desire to want to start a family.
Yeah.
To be a husband.
Hey.
You know. And I just want to say, you know, if anything, pray for you, God give you peace about it right now.
Yeah.
Give you patience about it. And, you know, I know the Lord provides.
Yeah.
With the right that he needs.
Amen.
But just pray that the Lord give you peace and patience for the time being.
Amen. Amen.
You still remember me? I got a sermon ready body if they ever find it tomorrow.
Amen. Remember this.
services tomorrow afternoon. Continue to remember his mom and prayers. She's still going through pretty rough.
Amen. Remember this.
We have a lady at our CC group. Her stepsister just found out that she lost her baby. She was 8 months pregnant. And if you would just please lift them up in prayer, I can only imagine.
Somebody else told me about that. Was
I told you last night.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry, but I can't remember stuff, folks. It's just, I think it's this congestion stuff. I know y'all know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My memory is bad anyway, but, you know, that stuff, it's like we were talking about earlier. You can't have sleep, and then you just can't remember nothing.
Yeah. Makes my brain like what it looks like outside.
yeah, that's exactly right. But, yeah, do please remember this one, because that's something that me and Jan was talking about last night, that, you know, it's been hard enough, me and Christina, going through all the miscarriages that we've had, but they've all been early. You know, you get quail up there like that, that's just a whole other thing. I mean, you know, I don't know. I can't really imagine. I don't really want to, so just pray that God will give them grace.
Life is life, and it shouldn't matter, but it does.
Yeah.
It affects you.
I think to a certain extent, when it's earlier, there's more uncertainty in your mind anyway, because you know everything can happen. But then when everything looks good for all those months, man, you've got yourself worked up to it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
All right, well, that's all there is. That's all I'm afraid of.
Illustrations all the time. Now I got a new illustration when it's froze. But in any case, yeah, we went up there to see the waterfall. Was going up there. How many of you have ever been up there, South Mountain, to see the waterfall? Most of you have been up there. I know Glenn, I know you've been up there. One person has to be back yard. But in any case, you know, it's a pretty good little hike up them steps to walk up there, you know. Everybody's always amazed to see Cameron and Sawyer get up there because they like Spider-Man. I mean, they just, you know, I mean, you cannot keep up with them. And there's an older gentleman. His wife was coming up through there. He was going up, and he said, man, he said, they get up through there real good. I said, yes, they've been coming up here. She says, three. And he said, oh, I said, yes. And he said, we can go up here since Andy Crow. We get up through there, you know. And I don't know why he said it, but he said, I bet they know how to pray, too. And I said, yeah, I said, they do. I said, you know, I said, we take them to church. And I said, teach them to. He said, that's good, that's good. He said, and he asked me, he said, will you pray with me? And I said, yeah, I will. I said, what are we praying about? He said, he had stage 4 liver cancer. And he said, the Lord put on his heart to ask me to pray with him. And I prayed with him. And he said, are you a preacher? And I said, yeah. And I told him I pastor the church over here in Esther Mary. And he said, well, have the church pray for him. And I said, we will. His name is Pete. And I can't remember his last name. It's been a few days. He's brain fog since then. But I remember his name. The Lord knows. And if you look, remember it. He asked that we pray for him. And said, pray for him. And obviously, he had some spiritual discernment there that just, you know, he brought that up. I didn't offer. He asked me to. And didn't know me from Adam. But he just, you know, he wanted some people praying for him. But he seemed to have faith and, you know, trust the Lord. But in any case, just pray for him. Let's see. Pray for our youth rally coming up. Pray for Preacher Curtis. Lord, give him the message that we need to hear. And let's pray for one another. That our hearts be ready to receive. Amen.
Amen.
And be sure and let everybody know. And if you know somebody who'd be interested in coming, let them know and buy them. I appreciate the water. Yeah, Jones, their last name is Jones.
They sang beautiful.
Yeah, it's a husband and wife, and they do some singing at different meetings and stuff. And they got a little boy. How old is that boy? About 8 or 9 years old. Huh?
They're all like 3 or 6 or something.
He's 6 or so. He's the oldest one.
He's got Down's on there too.
Yeah, he's the oldest one. But anyways, I don't know what happened. They said he had an accident, and he was in real bad shape, but I think he's coming through a little bit now. Just pray for me. But, well, as far as I am, you distracted me. Oh, I was talking about the meeting. Yeah, pray for Brother Curtis. Pray for one another to be ready to receive God's word.
And
if you know somebody, bye. And if you, I said, if you know anybody be interested in coming, even if they ain't interested in coming, tell them to come anyway. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, I invited a fellow on the mail route. It's actually one of y'all's neighbors. You know Dave Nelson? He runs the little body shop over across from Cook's.
Mm-hmm.
Scott was, you know, you're looking at you don't know. But anyways, I invited Dave, and he said, I think I'm a little past youth. And I said, I bet Methuselah would say he's a youth, you know. He said that. He just kind of laughed, you know. I said, the Word of God is good for all ages. I said, come on over and be with us, you know. But in any case, remember that. And I said, we're going to have a comedy show the 17th. Is that right? The 17th. What day is that?
Saturday,
February 17th at 6 p.m. And we're going to have donuts and coffee after. Amen. All right. For some reason, I was a 60. Okay. I'll accept it. Anyways, all right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I believe that's all right.
Katie's baby shower.
Yeah, Katie's baby shower is this Saturday.
Yeah.
This Saturday, this Saturday at 3 at the Fellowship Hall. And for this Sunday night at 5, or this Sunday evening at 5, is our foundations study. Yeah. And if you haven't got the question, you know, the question is this: name one of the Jewish laws or traditions that they kept that we as Christians no longer keep, and why?
Yeah.
That's the question. Why do we not keep a specific, you tell me a specific Jewish tradition and or law that's in the Old Testament even, that we do not keep, and why? And if somebody doesn't have worshiping on the Sabbath, then put that down. Because I'm interested to know. I hadn't had time to look into that. I've been wanting to do that. And I remember I did it one time, and I felt somebody's been years ago. And I don't know, there's probably a lot more to find out about than what I looked into anyway. One of y'all brainiacs, look into that. And I'll be looking forward to learning all about that. In any case, all right. Does anybody got a special song they want to sing before we get started? Hey, man, I don't wonder where Solace was. Was she sick then?
Say all the time, I tear up an animal with a feather.
Bibles will be in the book of Genesis, in chapter 14. Genesis, chapter 14. Been Wednesday nights, these Wednesday nights, last several one we've been going through and talking about what I've said some would call the scarlet thread of redemption, the times that we see Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. And we find another one here in Genesis in chapter number 14. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chartalamar, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shimabur, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the salt sea. 12 years they served Chartalamar, and then in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims and Ashtoreth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Shaba, Kirathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him, at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, Give me the persons, take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even though a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Pray that you add more blessings to the reading of it. Lord, that you'd open up the word to us tonight, that we may understand it, that we grasp it, God, that the message would come out clear. Lord, I pray that you'd preach to us tonight, open our hearts and our minds, that we'd receive it. I pray that you'd be glorified I pray that the name of your son Jesus will be exalted in every part of this service. To his name alone we beg. Amen. Amen. Well, I will say this about verses 1 through 9. I practiced several times reading that. If you follow along with me, you'll get that in a little bit. Go home and read that again. I don't know. I probably didn't pronounce one of them names or one of them words right, but that's okay. Like I said, I've just done my best not to make you laugh because I didn't want you to be distracted while you read the Word of God. But in any case, we're going to skip all that. I ain't going to read it again. But you get the picture. Chet Lamar, whatever his name, however you pronounce it, him and these other kings, they've come and they've made war with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they took all the men, they took the women, they took the goods, they robbed them, they cleaned them out, they overtook them. Now we see that they also took Lot because he was living in Sodom at the time. And mind you, this is before God had sent judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah for the ways that they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, but they were already caught up in some mess. This might have been partially God giving them a sign or giving them a warning, giving them a chastisement, giving them an opportunity to repent. But the very fact that we have a man of God, Abraham, who chose not to live near Sodom, he told him, if you remember back a few chapters, he told Lot, behold, the land is too big for us. He said, you choose a place, and I'll go the other way. He says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's where Lot wanted to go. Abraham said, that's fine, I don't want to go nowhere near there. And he went the other way. But now we see that Sodom comes to the man of God, and they want his help.
Yeah.
Now they had a whole kingdom full of soldiers. They went and they fought these other kings and these other kingdoms, and they lost pitifully.
Yeah.
Abraham goes out there with his servants, 318 of them. He's able to overtake them. But let's look at this, what it says here in verse 12. It says, they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshel, the brother of Aner. These were confederate with Abraham. That means they were in league. But I like that word, confederate. maybe it's just because I'm from the South. But in any case, he says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now, first of all, I want to say this. We're not going to get too much into this part, but I do want to say this, that Abraham is being Christ-like in this story right here. Yeah. Because he goes, and whenever he hears that his brother's being taken captive, he goes and he delivers him from being captive. Lot was the one reason that he went to war with these men. It was over that one. I'm glad the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, he said that he'll leave the 99 and go after that one. Amen?
Yes.
I'm glad that he'd come after me. I'm glad that the Lord has no respecter of persons. He's not looking for the one that's, you know, suited for him, so to speak. You know, we might judge people according to, you know, how they act and what they do. If God would have judged according to the way that I acted, I promise you I'd been at the bottom of the list. When I was lost, I'd curse God, and I'd curse anybody that loved God and served God. And the reason was is because I was full of wickedness, because I was blinded and I was deceived. And if God would have used that and held that against me, I promise you I'd be at the bottom of the list. I'm glad I'm not God. If I was God and somebody treated me the way I treated God when I was lost, I'd say that's the last person on earth that I've ever saved. I'm going to enjoy when he goes to heaven. That's the way I looked at it. But I'm glad that God loved me. Yeah. Even when I was lost, I'm glad that the Word of God says that while I was yet a sinner, amen, that he called me out of darkness, amen, and he died for me on Calvary. I'm glad that he knew me whenever he went to that cross. He might have seen my wickedness, and I'm sure that the heartbreak of seeing me and my wickedness, seeing you and your wickedness, was greater than the stripes that were on his back. The Bible says he was wounded for what? For our transgressions, amen. I'm glad that them wounds wasn't just physical wounds. You can ask my youngins, I do this all the time. They'll get a whooping or something. And I show them, I say, I got whooped so much I was doing this tonight before we come to church. I said, I got whooped so much when I was young, I'm immune to it. And I'll take that belt and I'll hit myself on the back hard as I can. I can slap myself on the inside of the leg hard as I can, and I can take it. And I just want to show them daddy's tough, you know? And I do that just to aggravate them. But I'm going to tell you this right now. A man can put himself in a state of mind to ignore that pain. A man can put himself in a state of mind to ignore that physical pain. And I promise you that this, the most foolish thing anybody's ever said is, sticks and stones and break my bones, words never hurt me.
Yeah.
Words can hurt you.
Amen.
You can experience heartbreak.
Yeah.
The heartbreak that Jesus was going through as they were whipping him was much greater than the whipping he was receiving. The heartbreak because of me and because of you,
yeah,
that he went through when they mocked him and they put that crown of thorns on his head and mashed it down into his skull where it touched the bone. I'm not talking about it didn't just scratch him like when you get scratched by a briar. These were big thorns. This wasn't no green briar. And they mashed that thing down his head until it was stuck to his skull. All the way plumb down to the bone. And that was nothing compared to the heartbreak that he felt over my sin and your sin.
Yeah.
And he delivered us. We were captives. Amen. And he delivered us. That's what Abraham done here for Lot. Lot had made some foolish decisions. Lot had got himself in a bind. Lot went the wrong way. Lot should have never been down there in Sodom. Lot should have been over there closer where the God's man was. He should have been over there where God's people was. And Lot went and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He made a mistake. And he's the one that ought to have to live with it, right? He's getting what he deserves. Hey, if I'd have got what I deserve, I'd have went to hell. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd have got what you deserved, you'd ended up in hell. But it was because God delivered me out of the bondage of sin that I was in. The same way, Abraham, here we see him delivering Lot. And that's how we can see that he is also being Christ-like in the story. But the Bible says that in verse 16 it says, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. Notice it says this. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale. It says the king of Sodom came out to meet him. Now, ain't it something how that when God's working in your life that even lost folks and wicked people will be impressed? If you really got God on your side, I promise you there ain't nobody in the world that knows you, that's been around you, it won't impress them, it'll attract them, it'll get their attention.
Yeah.
He had the attention of the king of Sodom. Now mind you, this is the same Sodom that was practicing all the homosexuality, all the fornication, all the wickedness, whatever they desired, from the lust of the flesh, they had it, they done whatever they wanted to, they were wicked. But if Abraham had the king's attention, the king of Sodom. And it says here that as the king of Sodom came out, also there was another that came out. So his name was Melchizedek. He was king of Salem. In the Old Testament, other than in the Psalms, it's the only time that Melchizedek's mentioned.
Yeah.
He comes in, he doesn't appear again. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, is mentioned in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And that's the only other time it's mentioned, but it's all reference to this one time that we see him appear. He appears this one time. You don't hear of Salem anymore. Salem means peace.
Yeah.
Doesn't talk about nobody else from Salem. And so we see this, and this is a type of Christ.
Yes, amen.
Matter of fact, I believe with all my heart that this was Christ. I believe that this was Christ in a bodily form. I believe that he took this form because it said that he was the king of peace, the king of Salem.
Yeah.
Hey, who else is called the king of peace? Amen. The Prince of Peace, that's Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, he's called Melchizedek here. And I know what the Bible tells us later on in the book of Hebrews. It says that Jesus was called after the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah.
That Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What do you mean by the order of Melchizedek? Well, I know a lot of you know this, but there might be somebody here tonight that don't, so we're going to explain it thoroughly, that even one of these children could understand it, because when I was a child, I didn't understand these things. But in the Old Testament, you've got the Levitical priesthood. Now, the Bible says that Aaron was still in the bosom of Abraham, right? whenever he met Melchizedek. Aaron hadn't even been born yet. The Levites hadn't been born yet. The Levitical priesthood had not even been established yet. Mm-hmm. And yet we find that there's a priest here. Yes. There's a priest here. He's the king of peace. And he's the high priest of who? The Most High God.
Yeah.
And that's why that Jesus is the priest after the order. What does it mean after the order of? It means that he is following in the same pattern that Melchizedek
right.
was.
Right.
You see, later on, whenever God gives the law, and he gives Moses the law and stone tablets, he establishes what we call the Levitical priesthood. The sons of Levi, they called them Levites, that they would become priests, and they had to be from the Levites. Matter of fact, God was so strict on this rule that it had to be from the Levites. There was a man, what was his name? He had a woman's name, Korah. There was a man named Korah who decided that he wanted to be a priest, and he had some other men who wanted to be priests. And matter of fact, God ended up punishing them by opening up the earth and swallowing them into hell. That's what the Bible says, that the earth was open and that they were swallowed. And it says that their wives and their children were. Now, later on, we know that God did have some mercy on some of their children because they went on to form a singing group. And you'll find some of the songs there according to the book of Psalms. The Psalms, it is called the song of the Sons of Korah. You'll find that in different places in the Psalms. But in any case, long story short, to go past all that, God was strict about having the Levites or the sons of Levi as priests. The job of the priest was to be an intercessor. That means that somebody that goes to God on your behalf. Anybody wasn't allowed to go to God.
Right.
It had to be the priest. Why? Because God's holy and we're sinners. And to come to God, there must be blood sacrifice. Yes. Innocent blood has to be shed. And so we have to have an intercessor. One that God has sanctified, one that God has called for that purpose is a priest. In Catholic churches, they call them. They're quacks priest.
Yeah.
Don't ever call me a priest.
That's right.
I ain't no priest. Matter of fact, I wouldn't like being called reverend. I know that's the thing around here. People call us, you know, the old timers, that's what they said. But, you know, if you break that word down, it means to give reverence to. Nobody should give me reverence.
Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm flesh and blood, same as you are.
Yeah.
God should be given reverence.
Amen.
I don't like being called reverend.
Amen.
But in any case, I'm definitely not a priest.
Yeah.
But the priest, I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher.
Yeah.
Okay? The priest, they were intercessors. They stood between man and God. You say, well, preacher, that's what you do for us. No, I don't. You have the same access that I've got,
amen.
You ain't got to come to me to pray to it for you. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said that veil, it was torn from top to bottom.
Yeah.
That veil separated the Holy of Holies, mm-hmm. the most inner part of the inner court, the place where nobody was allowed to go, nobody was allowed to lay eyes on it, except for one man, and that was the high priest.
Yeah.
As the leader of the priest. You don't know. You know how often he's like, said one time a year.
Yeah.
He went in once a year to offer sacrifice for himself and then for all of Israel.
Yeah.
And that was to pardon the sins of people. He was an intercessor.
Yeah.
He was called for that purpose to go between God and man. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, there was such a great sacrifice made. There was such a powerful sacrifice made. There was that song is power in the blood.
Yeah, man.
There was so much power in that blood that was shed by the Savior Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit came down and it was there. And we know that the Spirit didn't indwell anybody at the time because that happened later on the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, is what came down and ripped that veil and said, behold, well, now we have access to what the Bible says, the throne of grace. Matter of fact, Paul said it this way. He said to come boldly to the throne of grace. What does it mean to come bold? That means unashamed, amen.
Yeah.
I don't have to hold my head down and worry about my sins and all my failures when I go to God in prayer because it's been covered by the blood,
amen.
I'm talking about a powerful blood. That sacrifice was made. So whenever you read about the Levites, the Levitical priesthood, they had to intercede on behalf of man and between the man and God. If you wanted to pray, if you wanted to repent of your sins, if you had sinned, you had to bring a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And you had to go to the priest.
Yeah.
And he had to offer that sacrifice for you. So, and then he would ask God on your behalf to forgive you.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to talk to God. You say, well, that don't sound right. That's some of them Jewish traditions you talk about. That was God's idea. You say, well, how does that make sense? Because he's a holy God, amen. And we're sinful men. And then he said, I'm going to have this certain people that I'm going to sanctify and I'm going to use for this purpose. And he protected that.
Yeah.
He was zealous over that. Matter of fact, he was so zealous over it that you remember Saul?
Yes.
He wanted to make sacrifice.
Yeah.
He said, that's not for you to do. He right. said, I'm taking the kingdom from you. He said, you're a king, that don't mean nothing to me. He said, I'll take the kingdom from you and give it to another.
Yeah.
Because of what you've done. He was zealous, so he protected that.
Yeah.
You say, well, how do we not have that now? Because we have a high priest who's not after the order of the Levitical priest.
Right.
He's after the order of Melchizedek. See, whenever there was a priest and he was a Levite and he had a son, a lot of times they would train him to be a priest and he would grow up and be a priest and his son would be a priest. Why? Because it was in that bloodline you had to be one of the sons of Levi in order to be a priest. And so they would say, he's after the order of Levi. He's a Levite. He's after the order of the Levitical priesthood. Yeah. But then Jesus comes along and we see that he's not called after the Levitical priesthood, which is one that is imperfect because those animals have to be brought and sacrificed every single year. And every time someone sinned, there had to be sacrifice made. There had to be blood shed for that sin. And praise God, whenever Jesus died on the cross, the powerful blood that he shed was enough that we had access to the throne of grace and he became a high priest for you and I when offered himself. He said, no, he said, I have power to lay this body down and to raise it up again. Nobody could have put him to death. There wasn't no priest could have made that sacrifice. Right. He was the priest that made the sacrifice and he was the sacrifice.
Amen.
He came after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was one, said that he was the priest of the Most High God. Now this is important. This is the first time we see God as being referred to as El Elyon. Now before this, whenever we read, you'll see him referred to as Lord. You'll see him referred to as God. You'll see him referred to as a lot of things. Abraham referred to God as a lot of things. But he referred to him as Lord. It was all, you know, very respectful. It was all, you know, it wasn't nothing that he, I mean, it wasn't like he's calling him pal or anything else.
Right.
But here we see that he refers to him in the Hebrew. The word is El Elyon. It means Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And whenever he says this here, it says in verse number 18, it says that he was the priest of the Most High God. What does it mean to be Most High?
None higher.
That's right. But nothing greater. You see, before Abraham was going around calling him Lord. He was calling him God. He knew him to be one that was with him and that was helping him.
Yeah.
But he didn't understand that there was just nothing else like him.
Yeah.
That's hard for us to imagine with what we know of the Word of God today and all that we've seen. Remember, Abraham didn't have a copy of the Word of God.
Right.
Abraham just had what the Lord spoke to him. The Lord told him, he said, get out of the land of the Chaldees. Matter of fact, I believe the Lord was doing something with Abraham's daddy, because if you read, Abraham's daddy left Ur in the land of the Chaldees.
Yeah.
And then it says, and he died. And they said, and the Lord had also told Abraham to get out and to go. But the Lord's speaking to him. He says, you know, I know that this is a God. But now we see that Melchizedek comes to him and says, he is the priest of the Most High God. You see, whenever God becomes not just a God, but your God, the Most High God, the only God, God likes to be known as the only God.
Yeah.
The Most High. Matter of fact, he spends several chapters in the Bible proclaiming his sovereignty.
Yeah.
his power, his prominence. He says in one place, he goes on to even tell that, he says, I make peace and create evil. He says, I form the light and create darkness. Yeah. He says, I, the Lord, do all these things. He said, why would the Lord say such a thing? Because he's wanting you to know that he's sovereign.
Yes.
That there is none other who makes decisions other than him. If we, any decision that's made is one that he has allowed and already said from the foundation of the earth that this would happen. He has designed this entire thing. Now, like I said, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we're robots.
Right.
We all have free will to make decisions and things, but God already knew that.
Yeah.
He already designed it that way. And you say, well, wait a second. If God's sovereign minds, they're evil in the world. God doesn't cause evil. But he allows it to go on for this one purpose, that he would receive glory.
Right. Yeah.
You say, well, then he's self-centered. Who else is he supposed to be centered around? He's God.
Yeah.
If I'm self-centered, you're self-centered, that's wrong because there is a Most High God.
Yeah.
But if he is self-centered, he must be.
Yeah.
Because he is God. But he's a good God.
Yes.
Right. He's a loving God.
Yeah.
Now when he meets Melchizedek, Melchizedek says this, it says he blessed him, verse 19. And it says, and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. He says, blessed are you because, not because you're so, he didn't give Abraham all the, you know, he didn't brag on his battle prowess.
Right.
He didn't brag on his ruggedness and how that he must have been so great of a master to train 318 servants to take on these nine kings or five kings or whatever it was. You know, I can't even keep up with them all. I was just trying to memorize the names was enough. But in any case, you know, he didn't go on to brag on them like that. He said, you're blessed, Abraham, because you belong to the Most High God.
Amen.
He said, blessed be the Most High God. Who's delivered these kings into your hand? He said, he's took these enemies that you had, and he said, he's put them into your hand. He said, they ain't no other way this could have happened.
Right.
Except for the Most High God made it happen. Amen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that's happened in my life and your life that otherwise couldn't have happened. Except for the Most High God, the sovereign, the one who is in control, the one who is above everything else, made it happen that way.
Yeah.
I believe that the Lord God had a hand. How many of you lucky men believe the Lord had God had a hand in you meeting and marrying your wife?
Yes, oh, amen. Amen.
Amen. I believe there's somebody out there being fair about it, and not in the Hollywood sense of it. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe it's God's sin. Amen.
Yeah.
God's good to us. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
There's people that God doesn't like divorce.
Amen.
It's something he despises. But there's people that's been divorced that's been able to remarry and have a good godly marriage because God's so good that even after he says this is wrong and it is, but they can still be remarried and then have a good marriage because God is that merciful. In the same sense that I can lie or I can do something wrong and God's still able to forgive and help me and bless me. That's what he done for Abraham. Abraham wasn't a perfect man.
Right.
Abraham deserved to die at the hands of these kings, but the Most High God delivered them into his hand.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad that not only is he sovereign, he could be sovereign. And he could give us what we deserve, and he'd be just to do so.
Yeah.
And in the judgment, there could not be one soul that could say, I didn't get a fair shot.
Right.
There would be nobody that would blame God. Every one of us would bow our heads and our knees and shake. Every knee would bow. And every tongue would confess. Every single one of us would be there at his mercy.
Yeah.
Even if we received none, we would still not accuse him in the judgment.
Right.
When the books were opened and read, we would have nothing to say. But I'm glad that not only is he a sovereign God, he's a just God, he's a loving, he's a good God.
Yeah.
Just as Melchizedek come there, he blessed him, it says he paid tithes to him, he gave to Melchizedek, who's the priest, the Most High God. And then we see that the king of Sodom comes along. Now, just as we see here that Melchizedek is playing the role of Christ in this scenario. We see also the king of Sodom is playing his adversary, which is Satan.
Yeah.
Look at what he offers him. He says, oh, well, verse 21, he says, he said to Abraham, give me the persons, take the goods to thyself. He said, well, how does he play the Satan there? Well, Abraham, praise God, because he's the servant of the Most High God, he's got enough discernment to be able to tell what's going on.
Yeah.
He can look and he can tell what's going on. And so he says this, he says, Abraham said to the king of Sodom, this is the first time Abraham used this word. He says, I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, just like he said all the times before. Go back, and if you ain't done this study, Abraham, and find that he this is the first time he refers to God as the Most High God. After he met Melchizedek.
Yeah.
After he encountered Melchizedek, the priest, the king of peace, the priest of the Most High God. And after he meets with him, and after he's proclaimed, and after he's blessed by him, then he says this, he says, I lift up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoelace, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, the portion of the men which went with me, and their eschewed member, let them take their portion. After he met and realized how good that God was and how much God had been with him, Abraham might, I don't know, he might have went down there and he might have come back and thinking, man, I've really done good. Boys, we've booked up on them. Yeah. But then he sees the King of Peace.
Amen.
The priest of the Most High God. And he says, blessed be the Most High God who's delivered these men in your hand. Okay. Abraham realizes then there is none other.
Right.
He realizes then, and from then on, he calls him the Most High God. And from then on, he realizes that he's got a God that's not just a God, but he's the God. And there is none else. He realizes this God who's sovereign and could have had this done anyway, that he let it happen in his favor, and that he handed these people and he delivered his enemies into his hand. And he realizes it then. He says, you know what? I must be something special to this God. I'm glad that though I don't deserve it, and I have learned that I'm something special to my God.
Amen.
He does things for me that I don't deserve every single day of my life.
Yes.
He delivers my enemies into my hand, and he keeps me from harm and danger. He delivers me from the snares of Satan, and he does this all for his own good will. Yeah. It ain't because I deserve it. It ain't because I earn it. You say, well, preacher, you're doing a good work, you preacher. Hey, I want to tell you right now, I promise you, if I got what I deserved, I'd be at the bottom of the pits of hell, a burning for an eternity. It's by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Abraham said, the Most High God, he's delivered my hand. He loves me. He said he delivered Lot out of this mess. Give me back my companion, my nephew, the one I love. The Bible says that Lot's daddy died.
Yeah.
And he died at a time when even Abraham's daddy was still alive. They said that Abraham took him to raise for himself. This was like a son to him.
Yeah.
And he loved him. Lot could have gotten what he deserved down there that day. But God saw fit to give him back to Abraham. Abraham began to praise God. Satan comes along, says, well, let me throw this out there. Mm-hmm. I can give you this and this and this. Abraham said, I've got the Most High. I don't need nothing else.
Yeah.
He said, I've got the sovereign. I don't need nothing else. He said, I've got the one and only. I don't need nothing else. Right. Satan, if he could, he'd offer us the world just like he did Jesus when he tempted him. Just to try to distract us, just to try to draw us away, just to try to get us to owe him something. Mm-hmm. Abraham said, lest you say, I've made Abraham rich. I wonder how many Christians today that Satan brags about. Mm-hmm. I wonder as he sits there and laughs and scowls with all the demons and the minions. Now he's talking about someday demonic activity and how they report to it and all this stuff. You know, we don't know how that works, but we can imagine, right? I wonder how much, how many Christians are laughing about it, making fun of it. Because he says, look how I've got them. Look how I've entertained them. Look how I've watered them down and weakened them. Or have the discernment to see that we got the Most High.
Yeah.
Don't need nothing else. Abraham didn't forsake all of his goods. He didn't forsake all of his duties.
Right.
He went on, he was a very successful man. Very successful in his day and time. But it's because he followed God. And God blessed everything that he touched. I'm not preaching no prosperity gospel. It might not be in the cards for God to bless everything you touch.
Right.
And bless your finances and bless everything for where that you got it easy. But David said, I have been young and I am now old. And I have not seen his seed forsaken, nor begging bread.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, another thing they said, cast your bread upon the water, it'll return to you in many days.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means if you got something that's between you and God, give it up. Give it up. If you can let go of it, God wants you to have it, he'll give it back to you. Amen. Look at what Job went through.
Yeah.
He trusted God. God blessed him back twice as much as what he had before.
Yes, amen.
Because he trusted God. Abraham said, I've got the Most High. I don't need nothing else. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Have you met with the King of Salem, the King of Peace? Have you encountered the priest of the Most High God? Have you been shown by God through revelation? Has he revealed to you that he's the one that's been at work in your life throughout it all, and that you owe it all to him? And though you owe it all to him, he's willing to give you all the inheritance that he has. What a Savior. What a God. What do we have to gain in this world? Whether it be our wealth or even our health, if we give up eternal reward. If you've got him, you've got everything you need. There ain't nothing that can even come close. As I pray tonight, and if you feel like the Lord's led you to and you need to, why don't you come to this side? Father, I thank you, Lord, for loving us and being good to us. I thank you for dying on Calvary for our sins, Lord, shedding your precious blood that we could be forgiven. Lord, this world don't have a thing to offer, Lord, that even compares to how sweet and wonderful you are and have always been to us. Lord, I know that I am special and precious in your eyes. And I thank you for loving me and providing all my needs. And further than that, Lord, you give me the desires of my heart, though I don't deserve them. I pray that you wouldn't let me be distracted or overcome with anything, Lord, that would stand in the way of me fulfilling the purpose I have on this earth to be your child and to point toward you and to exalt you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I pray that you be with every heart and mind here tonight. God, that you would take these words that's been preached and bear down on hearts with conviction, that we'd have, Lord, a strong conviction to serve you, to live for you, to exalt you with every bit of our heart, soul, and mind. May you be glorified through our bodies. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Don't ask me how to spell or pronounce none of them words in the first nine verses. And all hearts and minds are clear.